The good ship Comfort has steamed into a sea of misery in Haiti. The huge floating hospital has 1,000 beds, a big number to be sure, but not compared to the need in Haiti. The worry this morning in that island nation, besides the prospect of more aftershocks, is will injured people who could otherwise survive die for lack of basic medical care? Our partner, the BBC, is there, witness to trauma care in frighteningly primitive conditions.
People are lying on wooden pallets, usually used for stacking goods up instead of beds. They've also run out of beds here. There are patients with very severe trauma injuries to the head, broken hands, broken legs. They are being treated by the doctors here, but the operating table is literally a wooden table with some clean paper, surgical paper put over it and stuck down with sellotape.
With us now is Dr. Arthur Fournier. He is the Associate Dean for Community Health Affairs at the University of Miami Leonard Miller School of Medicine. He just returned from Haiti. Dr. Fournier, welcome to the program. From your visit in Haiti, what is the current status, as best we can tell, of medical care there?
Well, the current status is chaotic, but it's much less chaotic than it was a week ago. We ourselves, the Miller School of Medicine, have been engaged in Haiti for 15 years, and I think the connections we've made at all levels of society have allowed us to perhaps be a little less chaotic and a little bit more organized than perhaps other people of goodwill who haven't been engaged in Haiti. Today we are opening a full-fledged field hospital and we'll be evacuating our patients from the UN compound triage hospital where we first started the day after the earthquake.
What are the pressing needs right now? Early on, of course, supplies were a big problem. Has that problem been solved?
It's been pretty much solved for us, but not for everyone. We have a close bond between people of goodwill at all levels of society in Miami and our Haitian American community and a deep love for Haiti. So our outpouring of equipment and supplies and the Miller School of Medicine's commitment to this relief effort has been extraordinary. And we were fortunate enough to have several families in Miami donate their private aircraft. And we've been sending three flights a day on the average since the day after the quake. And so we have good supplies of antibiotics, surgical supplies. We've been carrying on amputations. We're treating the infections that we see so commonly with this. We're resuscitating people from shock. And we're in pretty good shape. We are fortunate enough that the government gave us a plot of land right next to the airport to set up our field tents. And so our particular case, we're pretty good. I can't really speak for others,
Doctor,
but we're doing okay.
Doctor, react to this. We've been hearing these voices all morning. Let me just give you some quotes. Here's an aid worker saying, "I'm trying to make a decision whether we keep this patient alive or not. Some doctors here say we have to let him go, but I don't want to give up on him." And another aid worker who we heard this morning, "It's harder when they come in conscious, begging you to save them, and there's nothing we can do." How do you respond to situations like that?
I think we just have to do the best we can under the circumstances we find ourselves in. In the very beginning, we were doing operations on kitchen tables, outdoors, because there was no light in the tent. Things have gradually improved, and just with every improvement, you try and save more lives and do more. We resuscitated a little girl, 6 weeks old, who was on death's doorstep with basically an IV and some fluids and some D50, and we were fortunate enough to have a plane on the runway ready to go back to Miami, so we evacuated her to Jackson Memorial Hospital here in Miami, and she's in perfect shape today.
Wow.
So you just do the best you can with the conditions on the ground.
Do what you can. Tell us about how things are going to evolve medically. We go from trauma into other concerns, disease, dysentery, cholera, that kind of thing.
We have knowledge on this. This crisis will evolve from trauma, fractures, crush injuries. We will see kidney failure as a result of many of the crush injuries. I don't need to go into the mechanism of that, but it's predictable. Then we're going to see a wave of infectious diseases. One that people haven't really talked a lot about, but we're going to see soon, is tetanus, which is an easy disease to prevent, but a horrible disease to treat. And then we're going to see diarrhea, dysentery, and pneumonia are predictable. We may see outbreaks of hepatitis and other foodborne diseases.
All right, and just briefly, what's being done to stem all of that?
I'm sorry, I was difficulty hearing you.
What's being done to stem that spread of disease?
Well, again, we're being proactive. We're flying in tetanus immune globulin today. We've got penicillin to treat tetanus. We've got surgeons to debride the wounds. We've got oral rehydration therapy, which you need to treat the diarrhea. I think people just have to think out of the box. For those of people of goodwill who've not worked in global health settings before, they need to consult with people who have.
Dr. Fournier?
The biggest missing link right now is that there's nobody really organizing all the various people of goodwill and giving them a specific assignment.
Dr. Arthur M. Fournier with the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine. Thanks for your time.
It's all about coordination.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.